Good morning and welcome to A Time of Hope with highlights from our last Sunday service at the California United Church of Christ. We also sincerely invite you to be with us in person as we worship this morning at 10:30 in our sanctuary at 101 North Oak. Sunday school starts at 9:30. Our sister church, Salem United Church of Christ, out on Highway K, has services at 8:30. And if you don't have a church home of your own, we'd love to see you. Again, thanks for listening to A Time of Hope. Annie Roll leads our children's time.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Awesome. Okay, do y'all know what this is?
Flashlight.
Okay, hold on. Okay, what is the purpose of a flashlight? Okay, to see light when it's dark. Good job, Nora. Okay, in today's lesson, Paul writes to the Christians in a place called Thessalonica. They were having a hard time because they felt like their light was getting dim, you know, because it's kind of hard to see if your batteries are going dead or, you know, can't see very far in front of you, right? But Paul reminds them of some very important things. God chose you and loves you. Paul told them, God loved you and chose you. That means God looks at you each and says, you belong to me, I love you, and I'm with you, just as the light is with the flashlight. Then Paul prays to God to encourage the hearts and make them strong. Just like a flashlight always needs good batteries, not just sometimes, we need God to give us strength to keep doing what's right, being kind, telling the truth, helping others, and loving like Jesus. Next, God wants us to keep doing things and being good. Paul asks them to keep doing the things Jesus taught them, even when it's hard, even when people aren't nice to you, and even when we're tired. God can always power us up, like the flashlight, with good batteries, so we can shine bright for him. Paul asks them to pray. Pray for Paul, pray for each of us, and pray that God's love always guides us as the flashlight will guide you through the dark. So always remember, God loves you, gives you strength. You can help. He always is there to help us to shine. And we can always pray for each other, even when we're tired. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for loving us and choosing us. Please fill our hearts with your strength so we can keep doing good and shine your light wherever we go. Help us encourage and pray for others. Amen.
In this Thanksgiving season, our senior choir sings, Give Thanks. Becky Snyder reads the morning scriptures, followed by Pastor Lena Eddy's sermon, What Is It That God Wants Us to Do?
Good morning. Please join me for the prayer for illumination. Living God, you spoke to Moses from the burning bush, declaring yourself the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of the living. As we open your word today, open our hearts to the promise of resurrection life. Let your spirit breathe new hope into our weary souls, that we may live as children of the resurrection, alive to your love, now and forever. Amen. Today's first lesson comes from 2 Theologians chapter 2, verses 13, and chapter 3, verse 5. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God chose you from the beginning to be saved, through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. To this he called you through our gospel, so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brethren, stand firm and hold to the traditions which you were taught by us, either by word of mouth or by letter. Now, may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word. Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may speed on and triumph, and it did among to you, and that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men. For not all have faith, but the Lord is faithful. He will strengthen you and guard you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord about you, that you are doing and will do the things which we command. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ. Here ends the first lesson. The second lesson comes from Luke chapter 20, verses 27 through 38. There came to him some Sadducees, those who say there is no resurrection. And they asked him a question, saying, Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, having a wife but no children, the man must take the wife and raise up children for his brother. Now, there were seven brothers. The first took a wife and died without children. And the second and the third took her. And likewise, all seven left no children and died. Afterward, the woman also died. In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife will the woman be? For the seven had her as a wife. And Jesus said to them, The sons of this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are accounted worthy to attain that age and to the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage, for they cannot die anymore, because they are equal to angels and are sons of God, being sons of the resurrection. But that the dead are raised, even Moses showed in the passage about the bush, where he calls the Lord of God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. Now he is not God of the dead, but of the living, for all live to him. Here ends the second lesson.
The text today and the question today is, what is it that God wants us to do? Or maybe it's, what model of behavior should we follow? Or maybe the question is, what kind of religion should we practice? All of those questions are valid. But the one I want to look at is, what is it that God wants us to do? The editorial staff of a Sunday magazine at one time created a Faith in Life Award. As it was as a way of increasing the readership, they wanted to recognize some of the best demonstrated faith in daily living award. So the readers were encouraged to submit letters of nominations to tell stories about those people who were living their faith the best. A large number of people that were nominated the letters came in, talked about people who were attending church regularly for years and years and years. Well, that made sense. The other thing that they got letters about were people that were giving sizable amounts of money to their church or to favorite charities. Well, that makes sense too. Or the third thing is people have done both. They've gone to church and they've given money, and that was great also. Or many letters came in with newspaper clippings showing a dedication of a person and why they needed to be nominated for the award. Some folks were unbelievably surprised when the winner was announced. His letter of the nomination arrived with a letter that was written in crayon. There was no newspaper clipping. There was no, he gave thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. There was no, he went to church every single Sunday. But the letter read like this. Anthony is a plumber. He helped some people fix a house for my friend's family because their first family burned down, their first house burned down. He also visits my grandmother in a nursing home and makes her happy with his stories and his harmonica playing. He's a lot like Jesus. I hope he wins. But if he doesn't, it won't matter. He will still be the same good old Anthony. And it was signed, with love, Annie. So, what is this that God wants us to do? What should we show as our dedication and devotion to God? What kind of religion is it that we should be practicing? Well, if we read the text from Luke, the question that the Sadducees were asking was a trap for Jesus. For you see, the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. They approached Jesus with trickery. They approached Jesus with a hypothetical question about a woman who marries seven brothers, each of them dying without a child, and trying to make an idea of resurrection sound totally, completely ridiculous. But Jesus's response was unbelievable. God is the God of the living, not the dead. Jesus explains, this is the resurrection. Life is not like life here. Neither Mary nor Mary or are given in marriage, nor are do they can they die anymore. Then he declares, he is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. For he himself is living to all. This is the heart of this passage. Jesus says, God's life is stronger than death. God's love is eternal. So the question still comes up, what does God want us to do? Well, I want to suggest that God wants us to trust in God's power to give life. The Sadducees, though, thought resurrection was impossible. that death was the final word. Jesus reminds us that God's power extends beyond the grave. Maybe I need to say that again. God's power extends beyond the grave. And I know that many of you who have been to a funeral have heard that. God's power extends beyond the grave. And God wants us to believe in his life-giving power. Even when we cannot see how new life is possible. That means that living with hope, trusting that God can bring life out of loss, joy out of sorrow, resurrection out of despair, can happen. We can live as people of the resurrection even now. For that is who we are, the people of the resurrection. If we belong to the God of the living, then our lives today should reflect that truth. God wants us to live as the people of eternal hope. People of the eternal hope, not people trapped in fear and bitterness or greed, but filled with compassion and forgiveness and courage. To live as children of resurrection means that we love generously, that we serve faithfully, that we keep our eyes on what truly lasts. So what that means is that even though we like to get into small arguments, we need to live with an eternal purpose. You see, the Sadducees were really good about getting into theological debates. And if you've ever been around a bunch of pastors, they are really good about doing a lot of theological navel-gazing. The first Wednesday of every month, the pastors of this community come together, and we have been known to be told that we navel-gaze, otherwise known as theologically talking about all those things that only pastors can talk about. I don't believe we're the only ones that can talk about these things, but people believe that we do. The reality is that God believes and God directs us to be in an eternal relationship with his people. That God wants us to focus less on winning arguments and more on living faithfully. So what does God want us to do? And that is the question of the hour. If you haven't figured it out, I've asked you that question at least a half a dozen times. God wants us to trust in his power to give life. He wants us to live as his people of the resurrection of hope, to focus life on eternal life, not temporary. He wants us to live with his word and his action. God is a God of a living God. I have this wonderful friend who you all know, and I promise I won't be here too long. But I will come down here. You gave me something very nice to share with you today. I had asked her if I could borrow a plant to do an illustration, because there's something to be said about plants. There's something amazing to be said about plants, and plants are amazing because you can live with them. Well, some of us can. Some of us, sometimes you can live with a plant. And at least for me, there are times that I forget to water a plant. And if you forget to water a plant, what do you think happens? It dies. And if you forget to put it in the sunshine, what do you think happens? It dies. And if you happen to put it in a dark closet, what do you think happens to it? It dies. And if you put it in a cold, cold room, what do you think happens to it? It dies. And what happens if you go on a month vacation? It dies. Well, my husband gave me a plant one year for Christmas. He will never give me a plant again in my life. I didn't do anything wrong to it, although he said I watered it too much. And you know what happened to it? It died. But there's something amazing that happens to plants. There are times that these plants, they might look like they have died, but sometimes the roots will continue to grow, and the roots will spring up, and they will regrow, and they will regenerate, and they will grow and build and grow again. Sometimes we are like that. Sometimes we need to be like these plants that continue to grow. Sometimes we need to be like plants that resurrect. Sometimes we need to be about the resurrection and forget about dying. The resurrection of who we are and whose we are is so important to us as God's children. We are God's children. We have been named God's children. We have been claimed as God's children. And we are God's children by virtue of being claimed as His own. We are the children of God. May God bless you this day. And may God challenge you to figure out what God wants you to do. May God bless you this day. Amen and amen.
Thank you.
us pray for the people of God. God of love and grace, we give you thanks, and we come together to worship you as the family of God, as your children of God. We give you thanks that we can pray and voice our needs to you and know that you will hear them. Lord, hear our mercy. Gracious God, we pray this day for the hungry in this community, in this county, in this state, in this country. Help those who have to open their doors to those who have not. Likewise, help those who have not to give thanks for those who are able to help. Lord, in your mercy. Loving God, God of healing, we pray this day for those who are in need of healing, either physically, mentally, or spiritually. Embrace them with your loving arms, O God, so they may feel your loving kindness. Lord, in your mercy. O God, we give you thanks for all those who have served to protect and serve this country. We thank you that you have brought them back to us. Lord, in your mercy. We pray, O God, for the healing and wholeness of hope and of love, of life and of holy joy, for those who were named and shared with us today, and for those who we name in our hearts at this time. We pray that you embrace them with your healing power. Lord, in your mercy. We ask these things through the one who taught us to pray as one family, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.